Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions with my guest, Emilio Ortiz of Survey Metal. And we're just talking about some of his experience, and now we're back in Cuba. And everybody that I've met, you know, in terms of that live in Puerto Rico and have adopted Puerto Rico as their home, have just such differing and fascinating stories as to how they were able to get out of Cuba. And each one is a fascinating story, and you have a fascinating story. Tell us what happened that was kind of special, as you recall and think back nostalgically, that allowed you to sort of get out of Cuba a little bit easier than some people have had it.
Well, my cousin on my father's side, she was born in Tampa, and therefore she was an American-born citizen, and she lived in Miami, and she was married to an American-born person. So they both claimed me, and I had to present all my documents for a legal immigrant, not waivers or not any special document, but to come into the United States as a legal immigrant and therefore be given legal residency status upon arrival.
You were about how old then?
I was 20.
20, yeah.
And my experience was that there were lines to enter the American embassy that ran blocks and blocks and blocks. People slept overnight just to keep places in the line so that they could go into the embassy to request special permits. So I said, man, I don't want to do these lines. So what I did was I dressed up real sharp with
white suit.
White drill cien,
yeah. I imagine.
Yeah, drill cien, you know, white shirt and tie, and I had a briefcase in my hand. So I went in through the front door, and there was a guy, a security guy there. Every time that I came in, he opened the door, and I went in and did all my paperwork. And I did this about four times. Because I had to go back for this and this and that. I went into the consul the first time, and there was also a line in there, and I skipped the line and said, listen, you know, I need to talk to you. And of course I spoke English, so I went, speaking English, and he looked at me and says, stay there. He went back there and he got my records at the embassy, and he told me, okay, you can get this and this and this document. So it took me several times, several trips, I think about four of them, to get to the point where I only needed one more trip to the embassy. And that was to pick up my documents. And with that, I could leave Cuba. Hey, that day I get in there, and the guy that usually opened the door for me was not. And the guy that was there did not open the door for me. And he said, what do you want? And I said, no, I have to pick up some documents. So he gave me, the usual quiz, is this related to a visa? And I said, yes. He says, okay, there is a 2-3 block line in there. You go and get to the end of that line.
like everybody else.
Like everybody else. Not impressed by my suit. So I walked out, and I'm standing in the corner there. And I'm thinking out my next move. What am I going to do?
Plan B.
Plan B. But there was no plan B, because the other entrance was two Marine guards were in that entrance, and that was the entrance for the ambassador. So I could not walk through that door, and that was the only other entrance, the one that I had been refused and the entrance for the ambassador. So I'm thinking, what the heck am I going to do? When I see this huge black Cadillac limousine turning from El Malecón right into the entrance of the ambassador's entrance. And I don't know why I started walking towards the car, and the car was coming slowly to stop. As I arrived to the car, a bodyguard comes out of the front seat, opens the rear door, and Ambassador Bunsell comes out of the door of the car. And the ambassador looks at me. I'm only about 4 feet away. And he tells me, good morning. It was early in the morning. And I said, good morning to you. So he walks up the stairs, which are wide marble stairs. And I decide to walk behind him.
You got the nerve. You got the nerve.
I leave just about 3 or 4 steps. And I walk.
As if you were his attaché.
Yeah, man.
White suit, briefcase.
You would not believe that this... Marines, they go into attention, saluting, opening the door for him and for me. Okay. And I went right after him into the embassy. I get in there, and all of a sudden I said, holy Toledo, what have I done? If they catch me here, they're never going to let me go into the States. The ambassador goes into the private elevator. I am in the area for the American personnel of the embassy.
You're not in the visa section where you knew. This was unfamiliar ground.
This is the untouchables area. You're not supposed to be there. And I didn't want to look like disoriented, because immediately you call the attention to yourself. So I continue following the ambassador until he gets into his private elevator. And then I turn to my right and I see a familiar counter, but from the other side, this counter had almost, one of these levers that you go up and you can go by. The other side was for Cubans and this side was for Americans, and I was in the American side, but I knew this counter.
Right.
So what I did was I threw up the lever, I went out and went into the Cuban side, home free.
Wow. And this Ambassador Bunsell, by coincidence, was related to...
This Ambassador Bunsell, by coincidence, was related to W.R. Bunsell, Rocky Bunsell, the owners of the company that we represented later on in the future, and that my father took over after he left, with me, and that you met him through Bunsell. You
represented Bunsell. And I was the lawyer for Bunsell.
You were the Bunsell for Bunsell.
That's what an incredible coincidence.
You better believe
that. How we met through your father with a Bunsell account, and then how you got into United States because of Ambassador Bunsell, although he had nothing to do with it, except you just followed his, you rode his coattails.
when I see movies about World War II and about how
spies
and this and do this, and the Dirty Dozen, where this guys dressed in German uniforms, they walk into this castle and speaking German like nothing in the
right,
middle.
Right, sure, sure. Like the eagle's nest.
That's what you did. The same thing. I know what they feel, because I went in there.
Yeah, the adrenaline.
And they really didn't know where the heck I was. They assumed that I was something that I was not.
Yeah, that's an incredible story. So the facilitator, you're getting the paperwork.
Yeah, they gave me the paperwork. That was my last visit to the American Embassy.
And then you're home free again.
Yeah, several days later I left Cuba. 18th of September, 1960.
Okay, well, let's take a break and we'll discuss you arrive in the U.S. and of course, we know from past dialogue that you worked with a trading company in Houston, but how you arrive and how you make your way to that first job is always a moment of truth. So we'll be right back. I'm with Emilio Ortiz of Serbian Metal.